How many has ever gone through any kind of a fast? Okay. So encourage you, this week we're going to be engaging fasting food. Now, if you have a condition where you have to eat food because you got to take medication or so forth, then please do not fast food without a doctor's consultation. Okay? So this isn't something where, well, I'm going to fast food except that I like it. Right? It is, we are going to, if you can fast food, do that. But there are other things that you can fast this week. Fasting is where you're denying yourself what yourself says it needs, and you're taking that time and you're giving it toward God. You're going to pray. You're going to worship. You're going to be silent. You're going to take time to just be with Jesus. So what you would normally do in a day, you're going to break the normal routines of the day, and instead of doing what you would normally do, you're going to say no to yourself, and you're going to say yes to serving God. I'm going to ask you, or Jeff and I are asking you, that no matter what, whatever you fast this week, would you please intentionally take this week and say, I'm going to seek after God? What that means is this. Take the everyday duties that you have and turn your affections on Christ. So you're cooking dinner. You're not fasting. We're not asking you to fast 7 days every meal. There's a list of what you can fast and how to fast. Just choose one of them and stay with it for a week. But whatever you do, take your week and say, I'm going to intentionally turn my affections on God. So if you are at work and you have a little break, Lord, I'm going to intentionally put my attention. I'm going to center my focus on you. I'm taking 1 week of my life and I'm going to intentionally focus my affections, my thoughts upon you. I can't describe to you that, dear ones, this is not just something we're trying. This is not something we're just doing. I can't tell you the serious, you know, we're singing about joy. Thanks for that. We needed that today because there's also a seriousness in my heart that there's something that God wants to break into and through in our lives, our valley, our nation, when the people of God take serious his commands. Deny yourself, follow him. And we're doing this through fasting. So I'm asking for 100%. I'm asking that everybody fast something this week to give your attention to God. And one of the ways I center focus my life on God, I'll probably do it this week, is that on my phone, I set the alarm, and I can even put it on vibrate so it doesn't bother anybody. I set my alarm for 9, noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. I set my alarm to go off every 3 hours. And when my alarm goes off, I stop what I do and I take a deep breath and I just begin to think on God. That I focus on the Lord. And I also do breath prayers. Whatever you can say in a breath. Just, Father, I bless you today. Father, I remember my kids today. Father, I pray for our country today. Just throughout the week, set your heart toward God. And I'm believing that God is going to do something in our lives. As we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And that it has nothing to do with his love for us. He loves us without condition. This is us becoming followers of Jesus in a greater dimension, where we are saying no to ourselves and yes to him. So we have ways you can fast. Go online, look what you want, or you might even just fast the news. I would suggest that, by the way. Fasting is saying no so we can say yes to God. Can you say amen with me? Jeff and I are going to commission you, and so I'm just going to be a few moments longer. We're going to be engaging with this once a quarter. So there's going to be more teaching on fasting. This isn't the end all of fasting. There's going to be more. There's Isaiah 58 that really, in my heart, and Jeff and I talked about it. Isaiah 58 really stirred this, and I've been studying Isaiah 58 now for about a month, and I still don't have it yet. I don't just teach things to teach things. It has to be real to me before I can teach it, and I'm studying Isaiah 58, and I've been studying it, and I'm studying it, but it still hasn't become solidified in my heart, so I'm going to wait on teaching that, but that'll be a time later on. I believe the Lord will open up Isaiah 58 for us on the fast that he calls us to. This morning, I want to quickly focus on three verses, primarily three verses, found in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 10, and Hebrews chapter 12, and in these I'm not going to take the time, which is really hard for me, to put the verses in context, because I am a person, what's the context of the text? I'll let you read these yourself, and if I slip up, forgive me, because I have a tendency to go back into the context. But there's something that I want us to focus in as we are following God this week, what fasting will do for us. Fasting, as we participate, fasting will reveal if there's anything besides Jesus that controls us. Where we turn to something other than Jesus to find comfort, assurance, confidence, or just daily habits. How many has ever done this? And I confess I have. Man, it's been a hard week. I need some chocolate. Wow, two. Thank you for the rest, you sinners. You are all, God convict them during this fast. What fasting does is it reveals in our lives things that are really not necessary, that we have a bigger place in our life than it should. Things that we turn to, that we go after, that it's not even sin. It's not even like it's wrong. It just becomes, has a greater place in our life, that when we say no to that, we kind of go, oh man, I can stop at any time I can, until we actually stop it, and then we realize that becomes a little bit greater than than it should be in our lives. Fasting helps us keep a balance in our life. We have a tendency in life to allow non-essentials to take precedent over our lives. Could you get by without television? Could you get by without the latest update and information? My phone has this little ding when I got this latest information coming, and its ding is saying, Mike, if you don't read the latest information, you're going to be behind. And okay, God, I'm listening to you, but it's the Apple God. How quickly we can crave things that they become a point where they're just not something that is cool or it's okay, but we get enslaved by them. And what we're going to do during this fast, and one of the things I'm praying for myself and for you, is that God would lovingly reveal anything in our lives that takes too much precedent, and that we can now then allow His Holy Spirit to deal with those areas so that we walk in a greater freedom with Christ. Paul talks about this twice, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 12. And again, my heart so bad wants to know the context. You can read it yourself. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul quotes the Corinthians, and they say this phrase to Paul. They said, everything is permissible for me. And aren't you glad we have got a great freedom in Christ? Aren't you glad that there are some things that say, no, this is going to wound the heart of the Father. This is not going to bring it to me. And we call it sin, where we miss the mark. There are things that God truly reveals that are saying, no, don't do that. But most of our life with Christ, there is a great freedom to follow Him. And they're saying, hey, Paul, everything is permissible for me. And Paul doesn't say no. No, it's not. What does Paul say? Paul gives them boundaries so that their freedom doesn't enslave them. And Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You've got to understand, dear ones, we have a lot of freedom in following Christ. We have a lot of freedom in exploration. We have a lot of freedom, but without boundaries, that freedom can actually enslave us. That without boundaries, it's like a fire. We saw it this summer. You put a fire in a fireplace, man, it gains warmth. It's just a great atmosphere. You take fire outside of the fireplace, and it's very destructive. You take freedom and you put it within some healthy boundaries, man, it is grand and glorious. You take it outside of the boundaries, and freedoms can destroy our lives. So Paul says, great wisdom, dear ones, live with this sense of freedom, but recognize, is what I'm participating in, what I'm giving my life to, what I'm giving my energy to, what I'm giving my time to, is that really beneficial in my walk with Christ? Secondly, he quotes them again, everything is permissible, but then he recognizes, if I just give myself over to whatever I want, I can become everything, but I will not be mastered by anything. That things that are not even wrong can become a master in our lives without us knowing it. Fasting will show us if there's anything that is a master over our lives besides Jesus Christ. I think that's a good point, by the way. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 uses the same context. So first of all, not everything's beneficial for me in my walk with Christ, and I won't be mastered by anything but Jesus. Now he puts it into another context. Oh, here I go. Help me. 1 Corinthians 10, he uses the same words. Everything is permissible for me, but not as everything is beneficial. Then he says, everything is permissible for me, but what? Everything is not constructive. This idea of construction means to edify, to build up, to make other people strong. Understand, dear ones, that I might have permission and I might be okay with doing certain activities that I'm okay with, but if it doesn't bring strength and benefit to you, I need to stop doing that, because it's not just me and Jesus, it's we and Jesus. So if I'm engaged in activity that is, I don't feel conviction about, but it is a hindering your walk with Christ, then I willfully give that up, because it's not constructive for you and me in our relationship with each other in Christ. That's a big one. That's a real big one. And if you want to read more about it, read 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, where Paul, it's this love that says, if this helps, if this is not helping your walk with God, then I'll willfully give it up. Now, I'm going to get in trouble with this one, but it's okay. You love me and it's all good. I do not drink alcohol. And one of the reasons, it's not the main reason, in the Assembly of God and the minister, as a pastor, they say don't drink alcohol, and it was no big deal because I didn't drink alcohol anyways. It was no big deal. The main reason, though, I had a grandpa who did. And my grandpa was not a nice person when he drank alcohol. Got saved, gave it up. My dad said, in my house, there will be no alcohol. So the hardest drink we had was Pepsi. And we would have 30 to 40 people at our house, and we'd have Pepsi and iced tea and water. And that, our Orange Crush, if you remember Orange Crush, right? So for me, I recognize, for me to drink alcohol, knowing my history of my family, it would not be good for me to go after alcohol. It would not be good for me to have a glass of wine with dinner. It would not be good. Why? Because that would not benefit my walk with Christ. That would not be constructive in my walk with Christ. And also, I think about y'all, that if you saw your pastor had a beer in his hand, how would you think about your pastor? You might not think it's a big deal in today's culture, but for me, it's that reality. I want to live a life that I don't engage with anything that would be non-constructive for you. Now, hear what I say. The Bible doesn't say don't drink alcohol. It just says don't get drunk, which leads to debauchery. So it's not, I'm not even saying you can't have a glass of wine or beer. I'm not even saying that. If that's what you have, but for me, I'm not going to do that, but I can't put that on you. Because that's not my role to be the Holy Spirit for you. It's for me to say, I can't do this. I'm not going to participate with that. Even though it's not sin, I'm not going to participate with it because it's not constructive and it's not beneficial for me. Did I just step in a big pile of poo? You understand? It's thinking outside of ourselves. And fasting will help us do that. Can I give this up willfully for my husband or my wife? Can I just give that up? Can I stop doing that for my kids? Can I stop doing whatever it is? Can I give that up because it's not constructive to my relationships? Can I fast that for somebody else? And you find yourself going, well, you know, they need to get a clue. Then maybe God wants to put his finger right there and say, that's got way too much control than it should. Somebody smile, just one time, smile at me. Josh, come with me. Josh just got a promotion today. He's now Jesus. It's big steps to fill. Okay, we'll be right back in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, this is our last verse. Hebrews chapter 12, boy, great context. The writer of Hebrews is trying to get to this point of Hebrews chapter 12. And maybe you've heard it before. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run the perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay, you guys know that verse? Okay? So here's Jesus. Come with me, Jesus. Oh, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jesus. Oh, sorry. So sin that easily entangles, pretty obvious. But the writer says to throw off everything that hinders and the... so that we can run the race marked out for us. So as followers of Jesus, there are sins we need to deal with, yes. But that's not what the writer says only. He says everything that hinders. It's like the word is weight, encumbrances, things that you don't need to carry anymore. So we're following Jesus, and Jesus says to me, will you come follow me? And I'll say, yeah, sure I will. Let's go. And I'm walking around carrying all these encumbrances, and it's like, Jesus, whoo, hold on. What are you asking me? Will I come follow you? Sure. Go ahead. Let's go. And then he's, yeah, hold on. Yeah. Hey, what are you asking me? I will come follow you. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll be there in a minute. I love how Jesus is waiting. But here's the reality of it. In our walk with Christ, we can carry things that are encumbrances to following after him. They're not sin. They're not wrong. What are they? There are things, patterns of thinking, ways of looking at life, all this kind of stuff that as we're following Jesus, he goes, will you follow me? And now the question is, do I really want to say yes? Because it's getting kind of tiring. Do I really want to say yes to following after him? Do I really want to say yes to go, yeah, I'll go that extra mile? Do I want to say yes to say, yes, I'll love that person even though I don't really like them a lot? Yes, I will surrender everything. I will do anything you ask. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know, Jesus. Are you wanting me to give that up? Really? Seriously? Yeah. And finally, he says, Richardson, why don't you put that stuff down? Throw everything, cast everything away that hinders. And now I can follow Jesus like, hey, this is pretty easy. Why? I got rid of encumbrances. And I love Jesus. We'll go back this way, Jesus. All right. I love that Jesus, I didn't tell him to. He stopped because he's not like, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. He constantly works in our life that we can throw off the hindrances, the encumbrances in our life that are not sin, they're not disobedience, they're not wrong, they're not all this stuff. They're just things that have collected in our lives that when he says, will you follow me, can I still say yes? Or do I hold on to stuff, go, well, what would that mean? Does that mean I have to get rid of this? But when you get rid of it already, it's easy to follow Jesus. Our biggest challenge in following Jesus is us, not him. He's great. And Josh is too. Can we bless Josh? Thanks, Josh. That's what we're going after this week. I pray that it's not just four times a year, but I pray that it becomes more of a discipline in our lives, that maybe once a month, once every 2 weeks, that we incorporate into our lives fasting. Why? Fasting helps us to know if there's anything that's in the Star Trek world that's a Klingon. I'm trying, gang. I really am. You didn't get my seminar, fasting seminar. Lunch will be provided. They're fasting with lunch. Dang, hard crowd. Or bad jokes. What's that? I am. My humor's, I'm dropping it to the ground. Matthew 6 says we're not to tell people we're fasting. You got a reward. But when I talk, it's for teaching purposes and not to say, great. I'm not talking about this so I can get applause. I'm not. For about a month now, we've been fasting. Jeff and I have been fasting on Wednesdays. Other people have joined us. And I can't tell you how many things in my life where I thought, I'm doing pretty good here. As I give that up, I realized it's had too much of a control in my life, and I had no realization it did. And it's not this disobedience. It's not this great sin against God. It's not. It's these things of, if I'm going to follow Christ, if I'm going to walk like they did, they ran without encumbrances. If I'm going to run this race, I've got to start shedding some stuff. Wait, I'm not going to do that because I can only go so far. I'm going to start shedding some stuff that they're not wrong. They're just not necessary. They're taking up energy. They're taking up time. They're taking up my passions. They're taking up focus. That they're not sin. They're just encumbrances. The reward is so much greater. I can look you in the eye and tell you that in these 4 weeks, God has been showing stuff that I didn't know were there. I had no idea. And I've just been giving it to the Lord. Lord, I'm just going to throw that down. His presence has become so much more real because he doesn't have to fight through all the noise and stuff to get my attention. It's like when I pray, he's there. I don't have to pray through stuff. I am with him always. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. That's not the issue. The issue is, do we have so much stuff he has to get through before he gets our attention? Throw it down. Give it up. Just take a week out of 52. Take 1 week and just give it away. Just throw it down. Say, no, I'm going to take this. And instead of the first thing is check the news and what's going on, I'm going to turn this sucker off and I'm going to be with Jesus first thing in the morning. I'm not going to, if you're a person who has distractions and noise, hey, I'm going to learn how to be still and know he's God. I've even had to turn off some praise music. What? You know that praise music can be a distraction too. Or a teaching by one of my favorite teachers. I'm turning more and more of that stuff off so I can just be with Jesus. You will encounter God in greater ways as you say no to self and say yes to him. Is it hard? Absolutely. These things are hard to break. But when you deny yourself, they become, you walk into greater freedom than you've ever known because you are connecting with the God of life. And I wish somebody would say amen right there. Will you trust me on this one? I'm telling you, it's not heaven, it's not nirvana. Your body's going to say, stop it, boy, you need this. You got to have that. And if you don't, praise God. If you're beyond that, amen, I'm not. I've got areas where God has continued purifying my heart. Why? So that he becomes my all and my all. And guess who gets the benefit? My wife gets the benefit because I love her more like Jesus. My kids get the benefit because I love them more like Jesus. My neighbors, my friends, my church family, you get the benefit because I'm loving you more and more like Jesus. Because all the stuff is starting to go, bleh. Your attitude changes. You might even love a Democrat or a Republican. What? The word becomes more real. It challenges you deeper on levels that are deeper than you've known before. Why? Because you're denying self and making space for God, the Holy Spirit, to work in your heart and life. I haven't read it for years. It's called The Intercessor by, doesn't matter. And in this book, he said, it was in the 1800s. The church noticed a pattern that when young people of about the age of 16 through about 25 or 30, they would be raised in church and they turn away from God and they go their own way. This is in the 1800s. Guess what's happening in the Church of America right now? It's happening still. Younger people are saying, I don't need it. Reese Howe's his name. And he said what the church did was that they complained how the enemy was taking their kids. He said what our church did was we interceded because we haven't prayed hard enough to keep them. Whoa. And Paul says this in Galatians chapter 4. He says, oh, dear Galatians, who once again I am in childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, you must know in the church of Laodicea how much I'm struggling for all of you. And he's talking about prayer. Colossians 4, Epaphras is always wrestling with you in prayer so that for you to be formed and walking in the will of God. And dear ones, we have a generation of young people that are just kind of becoming with church. And we can try to find great programs to attract them. Why don't we try this? Oh God, give us our kids. Oh God, let the testimony of our children be this. From the cradle to the grave, they've served you with passion. Why don't our prayers reach out to God and God quicken the hearts of young and old? This valley has so many promises of what God wants to do. We, the people of God, let's fast, let's pray, let's hold them to his promise. Let's fight, as Paul said to Timothy, with the prophecies made over your life. Let us go after God with an intensity that we've never known before. Let's shake off lethargy and apathy. And let's say, God, if I have to give up a meal, so what? If my kids come into a greater revelation of you, who cares? Who cares if the stomach goes, rrr? Who cares if my kids know you more? And saints of old, we need mothers and fathers of the faith who know how to pray, to seek God and break into our valley, break into our world, because God will answer prayer. See, this is not just a week. This is, hey, want to try this. This is something we feel the Holy Spirit is saying, now. Now you need to do this. We need to find those people who will make up the hedge and stand in the gap on behalf of a nation. We need a people who will take seriously that eternity is a long time and there's people who are slipping into eternity without Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ need to awaken and say no to the stuff so we can say yes to Him. I've been rocking a lot. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Jewish in me, Jesus. But I'm doing this a lot. I guess that's what the rabbis do when they pray. They go to the way, and I find myself just going, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm praying in tongues all the time because, Lord, you've got something for us. And I'm not afraid about the elections. I'm not afraid who's going to win. That's not my goal. My goal is Jesus. So this sermon has been hermeneutically a mess. It's been a mess. But I hope you hear the heart that it's time for the people of God to say no. I'm saying no to that. If nothing else, it takes up too much time. No. Yes. Yes. I don't even care about football anymore. And it's not because I'm protesting. Because I want more of Jesus. Who cares who wins the Super Bowl? Who cares? If that's a passion to you, I'm not condemning you. I'm laying this aside. This is a hindrance to me. It's 4 hours. Or I could be with my family. Or I could be interceding. Like something else could be done with my time. I could ramble. I'm done. Stand with me if you will. How many have loved ones that don't know Christ? You can call them by name. You can speak their name. It's not just a number. It's not just, oh, there's a people walking around. How many have got young people, cousins, kids, aunt, whatever, who are just saying, eh, they were raised in church and there's no passion for Christ. There's no interest at all. They'd rather do something else. How many knows those? I've got family who are raised in church and they're not even serving Christ anymore. What happened? He's the greatest thing ever. What happened? And we can point fingers to society and education and the, but what, are we the ones who are crying out to God saying, not on our watch, on my watch, they got to make their decisions. But in my heart, I'm going after God for them. I'm interceding for them. And I'm not just going to accept a generation who walks away, causes a lot of pain in their lives, and then now comes to Christ at a later age, from cradle to the grave, that Randy's kids. Hi, Zayden. And that's the church. I'm asking you right, Jeff, you want to come join us, join with me? I'm asking you right now, this... Do you hear the call of God today for Echo Hills Church? You hear it. And will you say yes? That might mean you have to lay down some encumbrances. That might be turn the television off. That might mean you can't do all your fun favorite stuff for a week. You're just saying no for a week. And then let the Lord just kind of, what does he want back in your life? So, my hand is raised. I'm doing this. Who's with us? Who's with us? Don't raise your hand unless you're with us. Please don't. Only raise your hand if you're with us. Thank you for your honesty. Leave it up. Jeff, I'm going to pray, then I'll have you pray, okay? Yep. Lift your hand. Leave that hand up. Habakkuk said, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. In my day and in my time, make them known. Renew them. Lord, I've heard stories of what you have done in the past. I've heard stories of blind eyes open. I've heard stories of legs being extended. I've heard stories in other places where God, you moved miraculously. In our day and in our time, make them known. Renew them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, there is this, if you will, then I will. There's this partnership with you. That, Lord, for every campus, every student, every child, Lord, make yourself known to them.
Yes,
Lord. Father, yes. I'm asking for every adult, every man, every woman, make them known. Make yourself known
yes.
to them. God, let no one else slip off into eternity in our watch without God, them stumbling over the cross. Without them, God, knowing your great love. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commission this week. We commission this gathering. We commission this time, Lord, where we say no to whatever hinders and we say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
We're not saying yes to religion. Mm. We're not saying yes, Lord God, to anything that's going on around us. We're saying yes to you. And God, in Jesus' name, let us find such joy in your presence.
Yes.
Let us find, God, that those things that seem so important to us really are not compared to you, compared to being with you. And Lord, when those things draw us again, when they just whisper in our minds, you need this, you want this, or those habits, we just automatically go into it. Lord, remind us again. Remind us again of your great grace and love for us. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I bless Echo Hills people. We bless what you're doing. And we bless, Lord, an intimacy with you like we've never known before. In Jesus' name, would you say with me, yes and amen.
Yes and amen.
Pastor Jeff, would you pray?
Yeah, come on. I thank the Lord right now for each and every one of you. And I just declare over you, we commission you today to know Matthew 6:33, that you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that you will find the entanglements being shed off so easily, that the nature of mindsets and familiar spirits and things that have entangled for years are all of a sudden coming off because we have said as a people of God, I will seek you first and your righteousness. And so, Lord, we thank you for those sins that are going to be broken and the desires for them are going to change, Father, to where we desire you. And, Father, I thank you that we are a people commissioned today with James 1:1. James, a bondservant of God
yes.
and the Lord Jesus Christ, that each and every one of us are a bondservant, that we refuse to serve any other idol, any other entanglement, any other encumbrance thing in our life, that, Lord,
yes.
we will serve you and you alone. And therefore, Lord, we ask this week that as we fast, as we pray, as we seek you, Holy Spirit,
yes.
reveal those things that have entangled, reveal
yes.
those things that control, reveal those things that steal our time and put our attention on things other than you.
Yes.
Lord, show us those things because we want to be a people that truly walk in the revelation of a seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all other things will be taken care of.
Yes.
And we are bondservants of you, God, and you, Lord Jesus Christ. Led by you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so we bless you this morning, Echo Hills. We bless you and your families. We bless your cry for your prodigal sons and daughters.
Yes.
We bless your prophetic evangelism, Lord, for your workplace and the families that as you interact this week. And so we just thank you. The word says that Jesus said this, my house shall be called a house of
prayer.
My house shall be called a house of
prayer.
My house shall be called a house of
prayer.
Come on, Lord, we ask for forgiveness that we've made your house something other than a house of prayer.
Yes.
But Lord, we're turning back to you in different areas of our life and saying that, Father, we're going to start to intercede. We're going to start to fast. And so we commission you and send you out in the faith of Jesus Christ to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, bless the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Do you have anything else?
Thank you.
Yeah, come on.
Thank you. Hey, we appreciate you as well. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
A small group of people committed to the cause of Christ can change a world.
Yes.
We can do this. Two phrases that I've been living by. The only one stopping me is me. No one can stop us from doing this.